I swear that the testimony I am about to give
shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Under penalty of perjury.
Under penalty of perjury.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Mr. Young, I just...
Can you please state your name?
Yes.
Microphone.
What?
They just want it, like, right here.
Okay. My name is Beverly, Beverly, DeWitt, capital D-E space, capital W-I-T-T hyphen, Moylan, capital M-O-Y-L-A-N. And it's Ms. DeWitt Moylan. My husband's last name is not DeWitt Moylan. Thank you. I wanted to mention, Mr. Young,
yes,
that on January 8th, I sent a note to Mr. Thomas at 8:30 p.m., an email saying, I have procedural objections which I need to enter into the record. In the agenda for the January 22nd hearing, I did not find a time set aside for this. Will time be set aside for procedural objections?
Right now.
On January
Go
21st.
Ahead.
Okay. Because I got the message back saying that I would have that opportunity, and my husband has objections also. Okay. Thank you.
And just so we are clear with how we are going to handle this individual matter, you'll have 15 minutes.
Yes,
to put on your case. You know, jointly, one of you put your witnesses on. It really doesn't matter. Everyone is being treated the same in this
yes,
respect.
Yes, we understand that.
Okay,
like
fine.
Okay.
Now these are not on the procedural objections are separate from everything else, right?
This is not going against your time.
Okay, thank you.
For the presentation of evidence. These are procedural objections that you wish to put on the record.
I object that a sub-hearing abridges our right to equal protection. I object that we are being treated differently from all other proposed CDO recipients whose cases were heard and voted on by a quorum on December 15, 2006. I object that when we are referred to as defendants, then the property is not the defendant, and each
should,
of us
should
is...
Should we be ruling on these? If she's going to read a list of objections...
I have objections, yeah. And I was told I could read them.
Yeah.
Just a second. I think it might be better if you ruled on each objection, because if she reads 25 or 30 objections, then she's going to have to read them over again for you to actually rule. Or are you not going to rule?
Do you have them in writing? Have you submitted them? I know that
we
you
want to read them.
In your previous submissions, you have lists of objections.
Yes, these are different.
Excuse
me,
okay.
Sir. These are different, sir.
Okay, do you have a copy?
I do.
I think we need to then, she reads an objection, we ask Mr. Sato, and you rule on it.
Okay.
Or are you going to rule on them as a whole?
Hey, hang on a second. How many do you have, Ms. DeWitt Moylan?
Probably about 20.
About 20, okay.
It won't take very long. It'll probably
right.
take me
about 20.
Are they the same?
No.
Okay. Do you have a copy of them?
Yeah, you can have it after I'm done reading.
Okay. Ms. DeWitt Moylan, do you have a copy of yours?
I do. It's right here.
Okay. And do you have a copy to give to Mr. Sato?
Yes.
Not until we're done reading them.
Okay. Well, why don't we go through them then one by one?
Okay, thank
go
you.
Go ahead. Start over. What's the first one?
Thank you. I object that a sub-hearing abridges our right to equal protection. I object that we are being treated...
Okay. You know what? I think some of these, Gary, are really, they're more like statements. Because some of the law clearly allows us to have subpanels hear testimony and make recommendations, so... Go ahead.
I object that we are being treated differently from all other proposed CDO recipients whose cases were heard and voted on by a quorum on December 15, 2006.
Okay. And do you understand that we are not voting on issuing the cease and desist order today?
Yes, I realize that, and that's why I feel that we're being treated differently. Because you're only making a recommendation to two other people who will then just take your recommendation or not. But how are you going to convey the content of the hearing to those people so that they can make a valid judgment themselves.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I object that when we are referred to as defendants, then the property is not the defendant, and each of us is entitled to 15 minutes of testimony. I object that any part of the record which I might use for appeal has been severely limited by the attack on my due process right to have sufficient time to be heard. I object that SWRCB lawyer Ms. Helen Ahrens' assertion on page 2 of her objection request to quash and opposition to ex parte application of petitioners for issuance of alternative writ of mandate of December 8, 2006, in reference to my request for a continuance constitutes a deliberate distortion and a warped description of the facts. I object to Chairman Young's repeating to the board Ms. Ahrens' false portrayal of my request for a continuance, having already received the 20-page document I submitted at his request to provide substantial justification for a continuance. I object to Mr. Young's deliberately disrespectful reference to my name near the close of the December 15, 2006 hearing, particularly given that I was not present. I object that after ignoring me for months by omitting my name on any and all correspondence, only in very recent months has my name been included in RWQCB correspondence. And when it is included, staff consistently renders it incorrectly. I object that cases have not been heard in the random order of the CDO selection, which the board said indicated their efforts toward fair treatment of all defendants. I object that the use of alphabetical order as the order of presentation instead of the random order of the cease and desist order numbers discriminates against individuals who share the same cease and desist order number but do not share the same last name and constitutes yet another example of de facto gender discrimination by this board. I object that simply by our position in the order of presentation, we are prevented from incorporating by reference all testimony presented by all defendants. I object to Chairman Young's statement on December 15, 2006, following the testimony of defendant number 1034 and prior to the decision regarding the issuance of her cease and desist order, that defendants had not taken responsibility for their circumstances. I object that the chairman in the above context indicated that the way we vote had something to do with our circumstances. I object that after an entire year, no other recipients of proposed cease and desist orders have been targeted, violating our right to equal protection under the law. I object that the Water Board has attenuated the CDO hearings well beyond what a reasonable person would consider an acceptable disruption of the lives of private citizens who are not accused of any criminal activity. I object that the RWQCB continues to fail in its duty to extend due process to all citizens of the Prohibition Zone by failing to provide notice to them that they reside illegally in the Prohibition Zone. I object to the secrecy of this enforcement action by singling out randomly, without observers, 45 of almost 5,000 households and by failing to reveal a master plan for enforcement. I object to this board's failure to provide a comprehensive explanation of the phrase reasonable progress in reference to the Los Osos wastewater treatment facility beyond its requirement of passage of a 218 vote by June 2008. I object as a taxpayer to the waste of government funds in salaries, expense accounts, and infrastructure to conduct a protracted government proceeding that has already gone on for a year with no master plan, no framework, no exit strategy, and no end in sight against a statistically insignificant number of citizens chosen as subjects in a reprehensible experiment, all at taxpayer expense. I object that my participation in these hearings directly affects my future retirement income. I object that Roger Briggs is not present at this hearing to allow us to face our accuser. I object that this agency has engaged in public waste by failing to utilize mediation. I object that the settlement agreement was negotiated in secret among two proposed cease and desist order recipients and Mr. Sato, and is therefore essentially a limited agreement meeting the needs of those three three individuals. I object to the prosecutor's statement that cooperative discharges are those and only those who sign the prosecution settlement agreement. I object that the cease and desist order proceeding has been from inception to culmination here today a sordid example of government ineptitude and abuse of power. Finally, I object to the completely arbitrary, capricious, and abusive disregard for our civil rights as demonstrated in all of the above actions of the RWQCB. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Moreland.
Before Mr. Moreland starts, yeah. Mr. Chairman, may I make a suggestion? You know, I thought that what you were going to entertain here right now were going to be procedural objections raised by Mr. Moreland and Ms. DeWitt Moreland. But what I hear from them is really argument, opening statements, closing statements, a lot of things that I think would otherwise go to their regular testimony time. So if I think I would ask the board to perhaps limit, if the Moylands perhaps could give us a list of what they were going to raise beforehand so we'd know that these are in fact legitimate procedural issues as opposed to substantive arguments that they want to present to the board.
I object. Vague and discriminatory.
I think we'll just let him.
We've been on this for a year.
Excuse me, Mr. Moreland.
We've been on for a year.
Excuse me. I think it's just easier and more efficient to let him, you know, take his time to go ahead and tell us what he wants to tell us. Some of these are not really; they're just statements of his opinion. These are not truly procedural objections that we're going to do anything about. So, go ahead, Mr. Moreland.
Thank you. I object to the CDO process of notifying just...
Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is William R. Moylan, spelled M-O-Y-L-A-N. I object to the process of notifying just 45 property owners at random for a town of 14,000 people who are, for the vast majority, still ignorant of what a cease and desist order is. I object to the CDO process in particular for each of the 45 families that have been dragged through this process over a 12-month period. I object that the Water Board has known for months that this prolonged hearing process has demonstrably hurt these very few families while leaving the rest of the town free to lead their lives without impediments, a clear example of unequal protection under the law. I object to the Water Board knowingly plotting forth with this CDO process while possessing the knowledge that this same process is harming many people physically and emotionally. I object to the cavalier and nonchalant attitude of the Water Board during these past proceedings while defendants have wept openly, while defendants have had to go home due to the physical side effects of stress, and while defendants nervously presented their cases in a sincere and truthful way. I object to the lack of due process. That's a good one. I object to the lack of due process, such as fixing of this proceeding by using only two physical properties of address and possession of a septic tank to argue their case, while leaving out the crucial element of evidence of actual pollution of the state's waters by any individual home. I object that after requesting a continuance in a timely, professional, and courteous manner on four different occasions, and after quickly responding with a detailed 20-page report of why we could not make the hearing on December 14th and 15th, 2006, we were still denied a continuance with no explanation. I object that when asked by me directly in person on December 11th, 2006, for a definition of the term substantial justification in regard to a continuance, the assistant executive officer could only state, "I don't know." I object that the assistant executive officer to whom we were told to bring our questions does not know what would constitute, in the RWQCB's own words, substantial justification for a continuance. I object that the board has not to date provided any guidelines for defendants to meet the criteria for substantial justification for a continuance of their hearings. I object to the lack of due process, such as repeated statements in notices and hearings that the prohibition zone is not to be challenged, even though the boundaries of the prohibition zone were drawn arbitrarily and unscientifically, leaving out the parts of town in which the most influential and wealthy people live. I object to the lack of due process, such as repeated delays in water board notices and postings that as often as not missed the deadlines for those same notices and postings that the water board itself established. I object to the lack of properly served notices in the mail, and I can give you a copy of all of those notices. I will do that after I finish, such as inaccurate postage metering and gender discrimination by not having my wife's name on most of the postal notices. I object that the chair of the board has changed the rules repeatedly over this year-long debacle. I object that not one CDO recipient was spared from receiving a CDO or having to sign a settlement agreement, a document that is really neither a settlement nor an agreement, where each party, and by that I mean everybody involved, agrees and benefits from a settlement. I object that the overwhelming number of objections that the prosecution staff has stated have been sustained, while the overwhelming number of objections of the defendants have simply been noted. I object to the duress of this entire proceeding and to the extreme duress of this year-long procedure. I object to the lack of due process by the severe time restrictions placed upon my wife and me. And I just thought of one more objection. And I object that you cannot issue a settlement agreement to somebody who's suffering duress, but you can issue a CDO to somebody who's suffering duress. And I have one request for the board. We are two people, my wife and I, who have labored on our defense over the course of a year. Since the chair himself said due process involves notification and the right to be heard, we request a doubling of our time in all phases of this hearing so all of our evidence and testimony can actually be heard. This comes to a total of 70 minutes, which is what we want and feel that we need.
Denied.
That's what I figured. This is a request, Mr. Chair, and we may not need all of that time.
You'll have 15 minutes just like every other proposed CDO recipient.
Has any other asked for extra time?
I don't recall.
Well, we are.
Denied.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Sato? Is the prosecution
Mr.
team?
Mr. Thompson will present the case.
Okay. And we'll start your 15-minute clock.
Bill Moylan and Beverly DeWitt Moylan live here at 1516 17th Street within the prohibition zone. They, in fact, submitted a septic tank pumping invoice dated June 3rd, 2006, demonstrating that they have a septic system. The invoice states that the septic tank is equipped with an effluent pump to help force liquids to the leach area. Based on this evidence, we believe that the Moylans own and operate a septic system and therefore violate the basin plan prohibition, therefore are subject to the cease and desist order, and we recommend adoption of cease and desist order number 1041 with the same changes we discussed for the previous party. That's all for now.
Okay. Okay, you have 10 minutes for cross-examination of
the
prosecution.
Okay, I'd like to object to the statement of that we have a pump. We do have a pump. It doesn't force anything. It just sends it to our backyard,
okay,
which is slightly uphill.
This is the time for cross-examination, which means you can ask questions of the prosecution team.
Okay. Mr. Thompson, do you have any site-specific evidence for my property?
No.
Mr. Thompson, isn't it true that you told me last April on a phone call
that nitrate figures from test wells in Los Osos were used for the creation of the prohibition zone and the eventual issuance of CDOs?
Those wells were used to develop the prohibition zone. That's correct.
You said you didn't have any site-specific evidence for my property that all the evidence that the board had was from test wells.
Well, I think I've explained previously.
That's okay. I'm going to go to the next question. Mr. Thompson, are you aware of the Glenn Stillman affidavit in August of 2001 that states that the test wells were illegal wells? Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Okay. Mr. Packard, would horses passing gallons of urine every day near a test well impact the nitrate readings of that test well if the well was not sealed properly?
Potentially.
Mr. Packard, are you aware that the well nearest my home, it's on 18th and Pismo Streets, sits on property that was a horse boarding farm until the late 1970s until 2005?
No.
Well, it was. Mr. Thompson, does the Water Board have any evidence that my effluent is reaching the waters of the state? That is a yes or no question.
Objection and ambiguous.
Do you have any evidence that the waters or that my effluent is reaching the waters of the state?
Your septic system is designed to discharge wastewater into the soil and to groundwater.
Mr. Chair, I believe I'm getting a hostile witness.
He's attempting to answer your question. You can follow up.
It's pretty simple. It's a yes or no. Do you have any evidence that the effluent from my septic system is reaching the waters of the state?
In the sense that...
Stop the clock.
Hydrogeologist. Well, there's a lot of evidence, Bill, that I could get into if you would allow me to answer, but it's indirect evidence. Okay.
Okay, that's good enough. You don't have to give me any more answers, at least not for that one. Mr. Packer, did the Water Board attempt to notify all of the homes in the Prohibition Zone about the so-called violation of using their septic systems?
Yes.
When did you do that?
May of 2002.
You notified all the homes in the Prohibition Zone that they were in violation?
We sent mailings to all the property owners, that's correct.
No.
4,500 homes?
No.
Yes.
No.
Folks, please keep it down. I want to hear what they have to say, and I don't want comments from the audience.
Mr. Packard, was any attempt made to send me an informal notice of any so-called violation?
None other than that 2002 mailing.
I don't remember any 2002 mailing myself, but anyway, Mr. Packard, you and Matt Thompson met with the Mortars and me on August 29, 2006, didn't you?
I'll take your word on the date, but yeah, we did meet with you.
Okay. Is it true, Mr. Packard, that at that meeting I asked you to please stop these CDO hearings?
I don't recall the exact wording, but perhaps you did.
Well, I recall the exact wording, and I will show you it because I wrote it down right after the meeting. I did ask you to stop the CDO hearings. Mr. Packard, do you remember what you told me in answer to my request to please stop the CDO hearings?
Not word for word or exactly, no.
Isn't it true, Mr. Packard, that you told me, and I quote, we are going to proceed with this prosecution?
I don't recall the exact words.
Those were your exact words. There's a signed affidavit by the Mortars and me, and it's in our evidence. Okay. You did say...
Let me just interject an objection here. That, in fact, is not what is in your evidence, Mr. Moylan. You have a different statement attributed to Mr. Packard.
What's that statement?
It's in your evidence package.
You didn't state in my evidence pack. Anyway, this is getting beyond it. You didn't state that. All you said was you don't believe that there was any ex-party communication. And I didn't accuse you of any ex-party communication. But anyway, let's go on here. Isn't it true that I said you don't have to do this, do you, as far as issuing proposed CDOs?
Sounds about right.
Mr. Packard, isn't it true then I then said, wait a minute, Mr. Packard, did you then reply, we have been instructed to go forward with this prosecution?
I don't know if I said that.
You did. Isn't it true that I then said, wait a minute, Mr. Packard, isn't it true that I then said to you, who has told you to continue with these proposed CDOs?
Something like that, yeah.
Yes. Isn't it true, Mr. Packard, that you then told me, and I quote, the chair of the board?
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Packard, after receiving instructions from Mr. Young, did you feel compelled to continue with proposed CDOs?
Objection misstates his prior testimony.
Let's see. He just said that he had been instructed by the chair. So I'm asking, after the chair instructed you, did you feel compelled to proceed with these CDOs?
Actually, you said continue, and the directions that are the instructions from the chairman occurred long before the CDOs were issued or proposed.
Well, I have it all written down, and the Mortars have signed an affidavit saying that you told me and them that you were instructed by the chair to proceed with these CDOs.
Right, and what I was referring to is a discussion that the board had in December 05, I believe, at the hearing for...
Okay, that's okay. That's, you don't have to go into any long explanation. Mr. Packard...
Objection. You can't ask a question and then not allow a witness to complete the answer.
He's giving testimony. I just want an answer.
Well, that's what he's supposed to be doing. You're asking him a question.
Okay.
I would like him to finish his answer.
Okay.
I was referring to the discussion that the board had at the penalty hearing when it said that they expected staff to bring some sort of enforcement action. That's all I was referring to.
Mr. Packard, isn't it true that the reason we are here today is because of a failed sewer project at the Tri-W site in Los Osos?
Among other things.
Mr. Packard, are you familiar with Section 13416 of the California Water Code that says a public agency must hold a proposition election with more than 50% of votes cast in favor of such proposition before it can enter into a contract with the state board before a construction loan will be granted?
No.
That's exactly what it says. I can get it for you. Want me to get it for you in quote?
Mr. Moylan.
Actually, I don't have anything
you're gonna
to do.
You're going to testify... then I'm going to start deducting this from your 15 minutes. Okay? Just asking questions.
Okay. Mr. Packard, is it true that the loan given for the failed Tri-W sewer project was given by the State Water Board illegally because there was no Prop 218 vote for the construction of that loan? For the construction loan?
Objection. Lack of foundation for Mr. Packard to opine about anything that the State Board did.
I mean, it
wasn't that loan an illegal loan?
Sustained.
Okay, was that loan an illegal loan?
I don't know.
Mr. Packard, knowing that the CDO recipients have suffered physically and mentally, will you please stop this process and consider other more meaningful methods to clean up the groundwater?
I plan on continuing this process today.
Knowing that people are physically and mentally sick because of this process? You're going to continue knowing that people are sick?
I'm taking the course of action I think is best and appropriate at this time.
Mr. Thompson, on April 28th, 2006, at the hearing, when we said, what happens if there's no sewer project by January 1, 2010, didn't you say you'll have to vacate the premises?
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought it out.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's 10. Well, I've asked him to leave. And now I'm at the point where we just start to ask him to leave.
Well, you're just about there.
Folks, I'm going to remind you the last time any more demonstrations, and I'm just going to ask the room to vacate except for the proposed cease and desist order recipients and the other designated parties. Okay. We now go to your 15 minutes to put on your own evidence.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
I am going to be doing that part.
Okay.
I plan to use the entire 15 minutes, and so I would ask your indulgence to please, if you have any questions or objections, to hold them until the end so that I have all the time I need.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine. And then, however, if the prosecution team has an objection to the testimony, then that will interrupt the flow of your presentation.
And will that take that? You will stop the clock for that if he objects?
It usually not, no.
Well, how can a person have
this? We'll see what happens.
Thank
if
you.
It becomes long, then I will stop the clock.
Okay.
Can
okay.
I just interject?
Because
yes.
I need all my 15 minutes.
I understand.
I agree. But I think the board always has an opportunity to ask questions at any time. And right. I think and if we do, then the clock will be stopped.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Shellcross.
Okay. Go ahead.
We who reside at 1516 17th Street in Los Osos, California, are not guilty of polluting the waters of the state of California. In fact, we have done everything within our power to protect the waters of the state, including pumping our septic tank within the last 3 years, paying a regular sewer assessment, and signing the settlement proposed by Sullivan and Associates, which indicates that we will hook up to a wastewater treatment facility when one is available. We have submitted documentation and evidence to that effect, and we would give you our proxy for the 218 vote as well. The prosecution, however, has presented no credible testimony or evidence to the contrary. I incorporate by reference every shred of futile prior evidence and testimony and all the objections presented thus far. I incorporate by reference all the heartache and all the tears shed in this room and throughout the whole year of this tragedy. I incorporate by reference all the confusion, all the consternation, all the sleepless nights, all the fear, all the desperation, all the grief, all the excruciating indignation, all the numb disbelief, all the humiliation, all the physical, mental, and emotional distress, and all the time lost, never to be retrieved, brought before this board. I incorporate by reference all the trembling hands, all the shaky voices, all the thumping hearts, all the tight throats, all the shallow breathing, all the constricted chests, all the high blood pressure, all the heart conditions, and all the recurring medical consequences of this proceeding thus far. I incorporate by reference all the health costs, all the health lost, never to be recovered. I incorporate by reference the horrified paralysis, the persistent nausea, all the pain and all the anguish in the bodies of each member of the 45 families randomly selected for the senseless, relentless, ruthless progression of this board as though by a kind of reptilian programming to a single inexorable goal. I incorporate by reference all the profound trauma, all the deep emotional wounds, all the hopelessness, and all the duress that have come before this board in the course of these proceedings. I incorporate by reference all the damage wrought to families, to marriages, and to the children of the Los Osos 45 by the actions of this board of unelected appointees and employees. I incorporate by reference all the lives changed forever. I incorporate by reference all the logic, all the reason, all the wisdom, all the determination, all the courage, and all the trust in the authority of our constitutional rights that brave defendants have brought before this board thus far. I incorporate by reference all the truth spoken to power in this room up to this point. I incorporate by reference all the simple, sensible solutions brought before this board and rejected in the course of this proceeding. I incorporate by reference the supremacy of right over wrong, the power of integrity over intimidation, and the force of facts over fabrication, manipulation, and prevarication. I incorporate by reference all the common sense, all the ingenuity, all the compassion, and all the dignity of ordinary, hardworking people in the face of a cynical, hypocritical, regulatory body bent on using with impunity its authority to harass, stalk, and break unsuspecting law-abiding citizens to bend their political will. I incorporate the suggestion by prosecution staff that we need to rally the citizens, that we need to rally the citizens to save our homes. I incorporate by reference the self-serving lecture by Chairman Young on December 15th as though chastising some corporation's board of directors for failing to develop a unifying vision statement linking our voting record to our predicament. I incorporate by reference Chairman Young's inability to explain when this board has ever taken responsibility for its actions. I incorporate by reference this board's impotent hand-wringing, bemoaning the conflict between hearts and heads in deciding the identical predetermined outcomes of each case when they themselves had set the scope of this prosecution and the range of our defense. If this cease and desist order is merely a tactic to wake up a town, it is a failure. We meet Prohibition Zone residents every week who do not know what a CDO is. A government regulatory body that singles out a tiny group of citizens in an irresponsible, ineffectual, disgraceful experiment simply to put a town on notice has exceeded the bounds of common decency and humanity. We reject the notion that the RWQCB is legally constrained by the narrow, self-imposed boundaries of this proceeding from doing the right thing. Perhaps you believe that you are right, but you have an obligation to do right. This prosecution team had a duty to Los Osos. This board had a duty to Los Osos. The costs have been enormous for 45 families. The future costs to Los Osos are incalculable. The prosecution team and the chairman defend the notion that property is not at stake in this action brought against us. Yet not a single approved method of compliance short of vacating the premises is available to us. Our property is at stake in this CDO enforcement action. Already targeted by this prosecution are at least four special educators. I am familiar with six others who also live in the prohibition zone. We alone are 10 highly qualified individuals with specialized degrees and training who live in homes with septic systems fully permitted by San Luis Obispo County. How many other educators and support personnel who work with children inside and outside Los Osos have been affected already by the CDO enforcement? And how many more await CDOs? If the RWQCB decrees in 2011 that Los Osos has failed to make reasonable progress toward a wastewater treatment facility and we all must cease discharging, how many will be forced to vacate the premises. Where will we go when we vacate the premises? Who will replace us? I don't know, but the RWQCB should know. How many children, able-bodied and disabled, live in the Prohibition Zone, in homes with septic systems fully permitted by San Luis Obispo County? I do not know, but the RWQCB must know how many children will be forced to vacate the premises in 2011 if it decides that we are not making reasonable progress toward installation of a wastewater treatment facility. Where will they go? Who will shelter and protect them? Who will take their places? I don't know how many healthcare practitioners, healthcare support personnel, and caregivers live in the Prohibition Zone, in homes with septic systems fully permitted by San Luis Obispo County, but the RWQCB should know. What will happen to healthcare in this county in 2011 if the RWQCB decides that Los Osos has failed to make reasonable progress toward a wastewater treatment facility, and these healthcare workers who work in all parts of the county must vacate the premises? Where will they go? Who will replace them? How many fragile, elderly, and disabled people live in the Prohibition Zone? When they must vacate the premises, where will they go? How many thousands of workers, business owners, professionals, retirees, working students, and people from all walks of life who contribute to the infrastructure of this entire county, who live in homes in the Prohibition Zone with septic tanks, fully permitted by San Luis Obispo County, must walk away in 2011 if the RWQCB determines that Los Osos has failed to make reasonable progress toward a wastewater treatment facility? I don't know how many, but the RWQCB should know. Where will they go? Who will replace all these citizens who help weave the fabric of community in San Luis Obispo County? If you cannot answer these questions about the outcome of your 2011 deadline, you have no authority to destroy an entire community. Pardon me. Senator Susan Collins of Maine said, "The first obligation of government is to protect our people. When raw sewage flowed through the streets of New Orleans, the result of gross government ineptitude, neglect, abuse, and failure to act following Hurricane Katrina, Senator Collins did not replace the responsibility on the citizens for that health and safety disaster. She held the government accountable. Citizens across this country demonstrated on November 7, 2006, that they no longer support public officials who, with cynical impunity, use blame, cover-ups, obfuscation, baseless detention and prosecution of innocent citizens, and protestations of moral authority to mask a broad range of incompetence, malfeasance, and failures. We have been on call to the Water Board for 8 days short of a year. Throughout this time, whenever a conflict with the board's tentatively scheduled business has arisen, we have had to modify our plans. We have been forced to justify our personal business and professional responsibilities like convicted felons on parole. This interference with the lives of law-abiding private citizens over this span of time is abusive and unconscionable. Sitting here today are the very individuals we trusted to maintain the waters of the state for our protection. They accuse us of not fulfilling our obligation to keep the waters of the state clean. These same individuals argue today that simply by living in the Prohibition Zone, we, along with thousands of others, have recklessly, knowingly, and willfully polluted the basin for years. We expect you, as public servants, to maintain a clean water supply to ensure that we may live confidently, safely, and comfortably in our community. We expect you to have the expertise, experience, and judgment to work with local governments, to make wise and prudent use of public funds, and to do what is necessary to protect those you serve. We expect you to do it well enough that we don't have to think about it. That is what infrastructure means, that we entrust public servants with managing the network that supports our community so that we may go about the business of our lives. Board members have demonstrated repeatedly that they have the power to vote only yes to support the prosecution team You do, however, have the power to stop being helpless pawns of this prosecution team. You have the power to require that this prosecution team make wise and prudent use of public funds. You have the power to throw this case out. You have the power to require the prosecution team to follow this agency's own regulations for levels of enforcement and environmental justice. You have the power to broaden the parameters of this case to include a reexamination of the basin plan. You have the power to make certain that the actions you have brought and planned to bring today will, to the best of your ability, promote the highest level of benefit for the waters of the state while protecting the welfare of all the people of the state. Does any one of you dare to admit that when your heart is in conflict with your head, something is fundamentally wrong? Examine the parameters you yourselves have set for this case. Ask yourselves if the core of this case is to protect the people. Ask yourselves if Roger Briggs, whose absence is the most imposing presence in this room today, brought you this case because he wanted to protect the people or because he wanted to punish the people. Ask yourselves if this case is truly about improving lives by improving water quality or if it is simply about winning, no matter the human expense. You have the power to affect profoundly the lives of thousands of families in the prohibition zone of Los Osos. With that power comes grave responsibility. As public servants, you have the power, the duty, to abandon this adversarial posture and to cultivate a cooperative relationship with the citizens of Los Osos, dedicated to resolution instead of retribution. You have the power to abandon your allegiance to making a point at all costs. You have the power to make a difference. You have the obligation to protect the people. The first obligation of government is to protect the people. I reserve further comments for my rebuttal and closing arguments.
Okay. 46 seconds left. Mr. Sato, Mr. Packard, cross-examination of Ms. DeWitt Moylan or Mr.
Nope.
Moylan? No? No.
Nope.
Okay. Do you have any rebuttal testimony?
Mr. Thompson has a few thoughts.
Okay.
First, I want to be clear.
Hold on 1 second. Do we have 10 minutes for that?
5 minutes?
5 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you. The proposed cease and desist order is clear that as long as the process contemplated by Assembly 2701 is moving forward, there is no specific due date to cease discharging. That due date is only triggered if the county cannot get its benefit assessment approved by July 1st, 2008, or if there's material cessation of work on the project. Even if construction of the project extends beyond January 1st, 2011, as long as the county is making progress on the project, there is no due date to end discharge. But if that due date is triggered, then that does not mean to vacate the premises. There are other ways to cease a septic system discharge.
I'd just like to further clarify that the board itself decides any penalties for any violations of the order, not prosecution team.
Any other?
That's all.
Rebuttal testimony? Okay. Cross-examination of the rebuttal testimony only.
Rebuttal testimony?
Yeah, of the rebuttal testimony.
I do have a rebuttal argument.
No. Argument come at the end. This is the time for your opportunity to cross-examine based on the rebuttal testimony.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Thompson.
It's cross-examination. They can ask questions of the prosecution team based on the evidence they just put into the record.
Could I? Oh, sorry.
We did. Okay. No, it's just rebuttal testimony. So go ahead.
It is not cross-examination.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I would like to say in response to Mr. Thompson's comments is... Sorry. One of the things I would like to say in response to Mr. Thompson's comments is that so far we don't have a definition of reasonable progress. So how can we put confidence in your goodwill? That's something that we're left with. Well, you're telling us you'll be nice to us and don't worry because things will go along okay unless they don't. And if they don't, well, there are other remedies to vacating the premises, except you have not been able to produce one.
Further rebuttal testimony?
Can you hold the... Hold the time for a minute until I get organized. Take me about 10 seconds. Okay, I'm ready to go. I'd like to address the specious logic of the Water Board. And for those of you who don't know what specious means, it means that it sounds good, but it's actually bad. The burden of proof lies with the Water Board, as stated in the California Evidence Code, Section 520, which states...
Okay, Mr. Moylan, is this rebuttal testimony or is it argument? You're going to have a chance to give us your argument on the whole case. Mr. Whit Moylan, that was the extent of your rebuttal testimony?
That was
okay.
Testimony.
So we're beginning your closing argument?
No, I'm reserving my rebuttal time for...
Okay, you have...
A logical argument.
Well, the argument comes later. You have about 3.5 minutes more to give rebuttal testimony. It's evidence. And it's based...
Okay.
It's rebuttal is to rebut what the prosecution...
Okay, did. It has to do with establishing a zone.
Okay, that's not proper right now. Rebuttal is you... Rebuttal is to rebut what they just said, the two of them, Mr. Thompson and Mr. Packard.
They didn't say much. I don't have...
Then it shouldn't take you long. If you don't have any rebuttal testimony, that's fine. We can then move on, and you'll have an opportunity to argue whatever you want to argue.
Well, I reserve this time. I want that time added on to our closing statements.
It's not going to be.
Why not?
Because it's not going to be... Mr. Moylan, you don't have to be argumentative with me about it. You can use the time for rebuttal testimony. You've told me you want to get into closing arguments, so why don't we move into that? How much time do we have?
Can we add the 3 minutes onto the closing?
Okay. Well, you don't have any time limit on closing, so
okay,
go ahead.
Okay.
Let's start that right now.
All right. Well,
okay.
I'm going to begin, and then my husband will finish.
Okay, go ahead.
My closing argument has specifically to do with the settlement agreement statement and why we did not sign it. I'm speaking to Mr. Sato right now, you portray those who sign your settlement agreement as compliant, which by default renders those of us who choose not to sign as non-compliant. We believe it is possible to choose not to sign and to be compliant. We have already demonstrated our compliance. This is why we choose not to sign, in the reasons that follow. The settlement agreement was developed by one or two citizens with Mr. Sato, essentially to assist those particular citizens to avoid the unintended consequences of a CDO. That this settlement agreement does not carry with it those three letters, CDO, is its only advantage. By signing this statement, citizens give up their right to appeal based on a vague promise of future consideration and special treatment when the drop-dead date comes and they must cease all discharges. This settlement agreement is unattractive because it is a CAO without the letters and retains the January 1st, 2011 drop-dead date. Negotiations for this agreement were begun in secret, without input from other citizens. When an agreement was worked out, a few citizens were informed that they could attend an informational meeting. In the intervening months, since Mr. Scheib proposed negotiating a settlement for himself, which was later offered to others, citizens have begun to approach the one-year mark in the CDO process. Many are old, tired, sick, occupied with family and personal responsibilities. Many need to resume the normal conduct of their lives. For that reason, some of the former CDO recipients have signed your settlement agreement. Please do not flatter yourself, Mr. Sato, that this settlement agreement appears so attractive that the smart people have signed while only the most incorrigible, recalcitrant dischargers reject it. It is no agreement. Its negotiation was never authorized by me, nor entered into with my consent on my behalf. I have not spoken to one person who says they signed because they thought your settlement was fair and just. This is what I know. People have signed your settlement agreement because this process has gone on much too long. Some defendants are elderly and need to move into assisted living. Others need to be able to sell their houses so that they may complete plans for their own lives. Settlers have many reasons for signing, but I have heard no one say that they signed because they thought the settlement agreement was worthwhile. The reasons I've heard cover this span. Their family life is disintegrating. They have lost touch with children who have begun having problems in school. Their marriages are threatened. They cannot focus at work or at school. Their health is impaired and deteriorating. They are physically unable to go on. They see no hope against the unfettered power of this agency. They simply do not have the emotional stamina to continue to fight for their rights anymore, no matter how bad they think your agreement is. They simply cannot take it anymore. Do not flatter yourself, Mr. Sato, that you have brought the Los Osos 45 to the table. What you have accomplished is the gathering of an anguished, distraught, harassed, desolate, desperate collection of people, isolated deliberately from their community by being singled out in a tiny group from the entire population of the Prohibition Zone ghetto. You rejected the possibility of negotiating a better agreement that many of us had developed with counsel. You, who believe in settlement, determined that it was better to go forward with the hearings than to work out a better settlement that we could all sign and avoid the enormous cost and waste engendered by a hearing for which we had waited most of a year that had now to be rushed into, a hearing which this board cannot even afford to pay AGP Video to broadcast and record. Following your failure, the worn-out assemblage with whom I am familiar have dragged themselves to your table because they believe they have no other choices. If this is not duress, then I do not know the definition. To demonstrate our goodwill and cooperation, we have already agreed to, signed, and submitted as evidence the settlement agreement developed by Shauna Sullivan, the aborted agreement, which you stated you did not have time to finish because you, who believe in settlement, had these hearings to attend. We believe in settlement. No one is more motivated than we are to reach a settlement, to get you out of our lives, out of our home, out of our heads. On January 30th, 2006, the RWQCB moved in with us. We have not had a moment alone since. You crowd our dinner table. You sleep between us. You meet us in the shower. You sit with us as we spend sleepless nights staring at just one more document. We believe in settlement. We believe in fairness. We believe in justice. We believe in humanity. We believe in truthfulness and disclosure. This current settlement agreement is ample evidence that the prosecution team which developed it and the board which approved it fail to understand any of those concepts. This settlement agreement is a triumph of expediency over justice.
The burden of proof lies with the Water Board, as stated in California Evidence Code Section 520, which states, the party claiming that a person is guilty of crime or wrongdoing has the burden of proof on that issue. Everyone in Los Osos and everyone in this room knows that not every septic tank in the Prohibition Zone contributes to the degradation of the state's water. And yet the Water Board uses specious logic to prove its point. Here is the Water Board's specious logic. A, septic systems in the Los Osos Prohibition Zone pollute the state's water. B, William and Beverly live in the Prohibition Zone and they have a septic system. C, therefore, William and Beverly's septic system pollutes the state's water. Any logician will tell you that you cannot conclude that William and Beverly's septic is polluting because the premise that septic systems in Los Osos pollute is erroneous. Not all septic systems in the Prohibition Zone pollute. And I believe that my septic system does not pollute the state's water. Any governing body can create an arbitrary zone. The mere creation of a zone does not make it legitimate. For argument's sake, I will create a zone where degradation is occurring. This zone is the table that the members of the Water Board are sitting at, and I will call it the board zone. This zone is being degraded because there are coffee stains on the table and there are indentations on the edge of the table. Not only that, I declare that anyone sitting at this table is responsible for the degradation of the table. Since the members of the Water Board are seated in the board zone, they are all in violation. Now, if you do not want to be in violation, you must provide me with evidence that you are not in violation. But how can you do that since you are sitting there? Therefore, you must stop sitting at that table if you do not want to be in violation. You see, members, you can provide me with evidence that sitting at that table is harmless, or that you are very careful with your coffee, or that you have never dented the ends of the table, or that you have no other table to sit at, or that other people sit at the table longer than you do. It does not matter what you say. If you are sitting at the table, you are guilty. It does not matter that I have no direct evidence that you, as an individual, are damaging the table. I do not have to prove anything because you are in violation of sitting there. What does matter is that you are in the board zone. Ergo, you are in violation. I don't have to prove anything because I have created a zone. Science does not matter. Logic does not matter. Reason does not matter. And proof does not matter. What a beautiful concept, but specious. If the premise for creating a zone is erroneous, then whatever conclusion follows the premise is also erroneous. The premise that the Water Board is using is that all septic systems in the Prohibition Zone are polluting, and that premise is erroneous. And now, do you have a closing statement? You read it? Okay. I could talk about how our due process has been deliberately restricted so we could not mount a complete defense. I could talk about the Water Board, how the Water Board has spurned the California Evidence Code, or how the Water Board has no site-specific evidence for our home. I could talk about the infringement of the 8th and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution that this board exhibits. I could mention the subtle and not so subtle arrogance displayed by the Water Board and how unbecoming that behavior is. I could talk about the repeated gender discrimination in this proceeding. I could talk about these matters, but I would be wasting my time, for the Water Board staff and certain board members have freely exhibited their disdain for the defendants, no matter how eloquent or truthful or compelling the defendant's testimony. I could talk about how science does not matter with the Water Board, for Dr. Wickham's expert scientific testimony was dismissed by Mr. Briggs, who said, "We don't agree with Dr. Wickham's opinions." Mr. Cleese's expert testimony on December 15th, which said that pumping every septic tank in Los Osos would not lower the nitrates in the aquifer, was also dismissed. The board has decided that every homeowner in the Prohibition Zone will pump, regardless of the need. Logic does not matter, for we have seen how logic for the boundaries of the Prohibition Zone
is non-existent and arbitrary. Reason also gets short shrift from the Water Board because the reason for having the prohibition zone in the first place was based on nitrate test results from illegal wells, as stated in evidence submitted by Bruce and Antoinette Payne and posted on November 17, 2006. So what does matter? What does matter is that the health of the original 45 proposed CDO recipients has failed over the past year. What does matter is that Bruce Payne... What does matter is that Bruce Payne was blinded in his right eye from the stress of the CDO process as verified by his eye doctor. What does matter is that John Mortara was rushed to the hospital three times in January and February last year from the stress of the CDO process and has since had a pacemaker implanted in his chest. What does matter is that Alan Martin, sitting right over there, has had to have his blood pressure and diabetes constantly monitored in the year 2006 from the stress of this process. I hope you're looking at me, because I'm looking at you. And what does matter is that my wife has had to have infusions every 8 weeks to tame her autoimmune disease that resurged from stress of this process, an autoimmune disease that was in remission nearly a full year before this first Water Board notice arrived. And if I'm getting loud, that's okay. These infusions, which cost $7,600 each, are needed so she can lead a mostly normal life. Now pay attention, please. What does matter is that the Water Board has been asked to stop this process many times by others and me over this last year and has ignored our pleadings. What does matter is that members of the Water Board prosecution team were informed many times last year, many times, that people were suffering physically, emotionally, and spiritually from the CDO process, and that the Water Board had an obligation to help the people of Los Osos and not hurt them, and those pleadings were ignored. What does matter is that suggestions on how to inform the entire Los Osos community without hurting the community were offered by me and others, and that these suggestions were disregarded. What matters now is that these CDOs are rescinded now, that no more are issued, and that a community outreach program is initiated by the Water Board now. What matters now is that no more people have to suffer from high blood pressure or surgical procedures directly related to stress, or that autoimmune diseases of possible future CDO recipients are not activated by the threat of $1,000 or $5,000 a day fines. What matters now is that this Water Board realizes that the health and safety of innocent citizens are not just related to clean water, but to how well governing bodies relate to the people they represent. What matters now is that clean water and good relations can both be achieved if the Water Board wills it. What matters now is that the Water Board stops issuing these CDOs and exhibits the courage to work with the people of Los Osos and not against them. What matters now is that the Water Board thinks about how their future actions could benefit the people of Los Osos and then act in a beneficial way. And that is all I have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sato, closing arguments.
And I want to thank everybody who's come to support Bev and me and the other CDO recipients. Some of these people have CDOs themselves. Some are just interested parties. And I want you to know that I love all of you and I appreciate you coming here.
And I would also like to say that this proceeding would not have been televised if we had not discovered that the Water Board did not have the money to televise them. They have the money for the hearings, but not to televise the hearings. And so Bill and I made a contribution of $250 so that we could have our hearing televised. We found a person to give us a grant to help us to have our hearing televised. We asked for donations from people in the community to help us to have our hearing televised. AGP Video is underwriting the rest of the cost to have this hearing televised. And I would please ask anyone who is at this proceeding today and anyone who is watching on TV or in the future who sees reruns of this to please send a donation to AGP Video to commend them for their dedication to public service. Thank you.
I have one more thing to say. I poured my heart out to you. Every word of it was true. I don't know if every word that you've spoken is true. Perhaps it is. But I want you to consider, seriously consider, that this could do much more harm and that you could get exactly the results you don't want if you continue along this line. And I also ask you not to consider passing judgment on me today, that you consult among yourselves, because I really don't want to hear your comments about our testimony. And I think I'd like to go home now. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Sato, closing arguments.
Yeah, we have a couple of comments. First of all, let me just say that with regard to the settlement agreement, there's a lot of things to talk about in terms of how people settle, why they settle, why a prosecution team puts together a particular settlement proposal. I think when I presented that agreement to you folks before, I told you that we had made a strong effort to try to consider the needs of the community, but at the same time, we also had to consider the needs of the prosecution team and ultimately the things that we thought that this board would accept as an appropriate settlement. I also want to say that this settlement didn't come about as a result of just the efforts of two individuals, and it seems like there's some effort to try to discredit people who tried to work with the prosecution team to try to reach some kind of resolution for those folks. And I can say that the settlement agreement that we ultimately drafted and took to you for approval had included comments from a number of people, not just two individuals. It had comments also from a number of people who have actually appeared and testified before you today. So it is the document was a result of a broad range of different comments and inputs. And so I don't want two people to be disparaged as a result of our efforts to try to provide an alternate resolution to these cease and desist orders. And I think we'll have the remainder of our closing.
Could I make a comment regarding that?
Ms. DeWitt Moreland, you've had your time. This is now the prosecution team's time.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out that the studies and monitoring data supporting the propriety of the prohibition zone are discussed in the prosecution team's written materials. We know that is not at issue before you today. There's also discussion there of why the Los Osos CSD's monitoring wells appropriately represent groundwater conditions. The Moylans have not submitted any evidence to answer the question that is before you today, which is whether they are violating the basin plan prohibition. They have not submitted any evidence that they do not have a septic system discharge. We therefore recommend adoption of their cease and desist order, order number 1041. Thank you.
Okay. Any further closing arguments? No? Okay. All right. That concludes the testimony portion.